The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Boker Tov. Anthony Reich, how are you?
Boker Tov, Shavuot Tov, Chanukah Sameach. How are you guys doing?
Oh my gosh, by the time we finished all the greetings, it's the end of the
greetings, exactly. But here's the real question, Kathy. Have you guys heard the latest song that Bibi sings with Eden Ben Zaken? Have you played it yet?
No. But I'm going to get it. You really should.
This is a song that was released. It's actually a classic Arik Einstein song called Yesh Bi Ahava. I Have Love in Me. Eden Ben Zaken, she's a 26-year-old singer in Israel, very, very popular and very well known.
Yes, we play her music all the time.
So she has taken to the studio with Bibi, and he sings a few of the choruses. I have to say, I was quite surprised. And I think that you guys might be too when you hear his attempts at the song. The song was actually released in order to try and raise funds for a charity. And of course, that in itself caused quite a lot of reaction in the local public, people saying if Bibi had managed to pass the budget, which we haven't passed for almost 2 years, then we wouldn't need to have him in a studio raising funds for charity, because there would be money that would potentially be set aside for such uses. That's one of the accusations that have been leveled against him. The other one, of course, is that this is the start of the election campaign, and does Eden Ben Zaken know that she's being used for the Likud election campaign? Everybody will reach their own conclusions, but I do suggest that you guys have a listen of it.
I'm going to play it after 8. I have it.
Okay, good.
There you have it. Yesh Bi Ahava.
I think you might be surprised.
Okay.
Yesh Bi Ahava. Yeah, it's an Arik Einstein song. It was one, a tune that many people might recognize anyway. But of course, new singers to add to the song.
Absolutely marvelous. All right. Good news this morning that we all woke up to about Bhutan. They've joined Morocco in normalizing relations with Israel.
Yeah, so this was announced over the weekend, both Morocco and Bhutan, and we're just following on the trend of countries that are normalizing relations with Israel, some of which have quite significant impact or you know, more significance than others, let's say. I don't know that Israelis were staying awake at night wondering when we would normalize relations with Bhutan. That probably wasn't one of them on the agenda. But certainly Morocco has an entirely different taste and feel about it. And Morocco has an interesting relationship with Israel, in spite of the fact that there hasn't been diplomatic relations with Morocco, at least not up until now. But let's not forget that there's something like 1 million Israelis who have some sort of family origin in Morocco. And so this creates an immediate connection between the two countries as those diplomatic relations are being pursued now. Having said that, I mean, Morocco has been a country that people have traveled to from Israel. There hasn't really been a ban on people traveling there, in spite of the fact that there haven't been formal diplomatic relations. So some of those people who are from Moroccan ancestry have traveled back in order to try to explore their family roots. But of course, now the floodgates will be open. I mean, Morocco has a very important situation, important position within not only the Arab world, but North Africa as well. It's a country that has had some relations with Israel, trade relations. Let's not forget one of the most important events that happened with Morocco back in 1965, when the Moroccan king actually advised Israel of things that were going on at the Arab League. That was at the time King Hassan II gave Israel recordings of an Arab League meeting that took place, which actually helped Israel to prepare for the Six-Day War 2 years later in 1967. So that was a very, very important piece of information that Israel managed to get from Morocco and cooperation with Morocco. But Morocco has a very strong economy, and so the relations with Morocco will be one of those, I think, that will immediately have an impact on the situation with Israel. Bhutan less so, but you know, we hold the view that it's better to have friends than to have enemies, and the more people are your friends, the less likely they are to be your enemy.
Anthony, more likely.
The more they are your friend, the less likely. I'm sorry. Let's start again.
I was just making a joke. You know.
And honey, well, maybe.
The number one cause of divorce is marriage. Yes, I got it.
Exactly. But having said that, you know, there is a lot of excitement about the fact that more and more diplomatic relations are being developed with countries that we didn't have relations with before. There is some speculation that there are more on the way. Oman is one that we've spoken about already for some time. That's still very much on the agenda. Also talk about Indonesia, which I didn't have on my agenda previously in terms of the countries that might come around next to develop diplomatic relations with Israel. Apparently that is under discussion now. And there is talk about Mike Pence, Vice President Mike Pence, visiting Israel during January before change of administration in Washington. And there is speculation as to what he might want to come and do here during January. And, of course, a lot written in the press about who really has been behind the scenes in developing these ties. It's been an interesting strategy because up until now, what we've seen from U.S. administrations is trying to bump heads together, take the arch enemies and bump their heads together in order to try and create relations and to try and create a deal. Most notably, Israel, the Israelis and the Palestinians to try and somehow get them to talk to each other. Up until now, that's failed. But the Trump administration has taken a slightly different approach and looked at countries that might be around the edges, who are perhaps not such arch enemies and who might have a desire and an interest to create diplomatic relations with Israel and then to develop those ties, which would then lead to a chain reaction and then potentially would push those arch enemies who have failed to want to talk to each other up until now or failed to want to come to an agreement up until now, will push them into a very, very different diplomatic situation, which might force them to have no choice. And I think it's been a very interesting strategy. And even if we don't ultimately from all of this come to an agreement with the Palestinians, there's been absolutely no harm done in the meantime in getting diplomatic relations developed with all of these other countries.
Absolutely fascinating. Well, let's see. I mean, Indonesia definitely is an interesting one. Anthony, we're already halfway through Hanukkah, tonight being fifth night Hanukkah. What have Israelis been doing?
Well, we have had school holidays. There was talk about potentially having allowing the schools to keep open during Hanukkah. That did not happen. So this is a week of school holidays. We see, of course, Hanukkiot everywhere. The malls have reopened just last week with limited access and with all the social distancing. Unfortunately, our numbers are increasing where the number of people who've been diagnosed with COVID-19 are concerned. We are back pushing the numbers up again, having decreased them over a period of time following the Chagim, following Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot period, when the numbers were really high, and then we've come down again. But slowly but surely, they seem to be edging up again. But in spite of that, people are definitely out and about, and very, very few people traveling abroad, as has been the tradition over Hanukkah. But what's interesting is that quite a lot of people are using the opportunity to go to Eilat and the Dead Sea, the so-called green islands. You have to have a COVID test 72 hours before. Negative test means you're allowed to go to Eilat and the Dead Sea. Positive test means you are not allowed to go. And there are also a number of destinations, foreign destinations that have been opened up to Israelis. Would you believe that Seychelles is one of them, that Israelis are traveling to the Seychelles without the need to isolate or quarantine when they get there and without the need to quarantine when they come back? So there have been now direct flights set up between Israel and Seychelles to allow people to have a little bit of a summer holiday. There might be some people who are listening in who have a plan to be in Seychelles over the summertime. You're likely to encounter quite a lot of Israelis there. And also many, many people traveling to the Gulf, to Dubai, to take advantage of the newly established diplomatic relations and to have a little bit of a holiday abroad. And interestingly, quite a number of former South Africans are using the opportunity to travel to South Africa because, again, South Africa does not require any quarantine from people coming from Israel as long as they come with a negative test within the 72 hours before they travel. The problem for South Africa is that when people return from South Africa to Israel, they are required to go into quarantine. The quarantine has now been reduced to 10 days, and you're required to have a COVID test in order to be released from quarantine if you want to adhere to that 10-day period. So a lot of caution being expressed. And of course, while we're already talking about things kind of COVID-related, of course, there's a lot of focus on the vaccine, which is now arrived in Israel and due to be rolled out within the next week to 10 days. We think, we understand that Prime Minister Netanyahu might be the first world leader to be vaccinated live on TV. That's going to be something to look out for. But certainly, Israelis are trying to enjoy Hanukkah as much as possible, even though the number of options available have been quite limited. We've had really wonderful weather up until now, although stormy weather is predicted for the next few days. So a lot of people being out and about doing whatever they can within Israel, touring outside areas, nature reserves, being outdoors in order to celebrate Hanukkah. And of course, a lot of focus on the area around Modi'in, which is where the Maccabim actually were located. And that becomes a very much a focal point over the Hanukkah period, people trying to retrace the steps of history, the story that actually led to the Hanukkah miracles.
What's your favorite thing to do on Hanukkah, Anthony?
What do you mean, besides eat donuts?
Well, hopefully that's not the summary of it, but yeah. Well, you can include that if you like.
Well, I mean, the food, you know, in typical Jewish fashion, a festival is not a festival without its food. And so, of course, donuts are very much a part and parcel, not only donuts, but other fried foods, part and parcel of Hanukkah. And we would not enjoy Hanukkah without donuts. I think for me, what's really nice is just to see how it brings people outdoors. You see Hanukkiot outside everywhere. There was a car driving on the highway with a Hanukkiah strapped to the roof of the car.
Chabad. It has to be Chabad.
It wasn't really. It really wasn't. I mean, I did look out for the typical signs. But, you know, it was just there seems to be a desire more this year than even ever before for people to show their candles, windows with the Hanukkiot all in the windows, outside Hanukkiot, a massive Hanukkiah that I saw in the garden of a block of flats burning with oil. It's just nice that people kind of express themselves outwardly. It's nice to see the pride, people, you know, sharing in this miracle and sharing in the Chag of Hanukkah. And so for me, the atmosphere is everything. It's not specifically to do one thing or another, but just to experience that atmosphere that feels really good.
Amazing. Anthony Reich, that is where we leave it today. And we'll catch up tomorrow, same time, same place.
Look forward to it. Have a good day.
Thank you so much. You too. God bless. Bye-bye. That's Anthony Reich, our Israel correspondent here on The Morning Mayhem. If you want to find out what else he has to say, take a look at his blog. It's called Comments from the Edge.
IFM 101.9 megahertz of life.